Galatians chapter 1, we will begin our reading in verse 11. Paul says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me." Let me remind you of our context and what has been going on, why Paul wrote the book of Galatians. The Galatian churches had been established by the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey. And there were some men who we will call the Judaizers who went in and after Paul had left and said, "Paul's message is incomplete. Paul told you that you need to have faith in Christ in order to be justified before God, but that's not enough," they said. "You need to become Jewish, you need to get circumcised, and then you need to become a Jew, and then you will be able to believe in the Jewish Messiah and be saved." And there were some people who were starting to believe that. And Paul was shocked and amazed. He said to them, "I'm amazed that you're turning away from the true gospel." Later on in the same book, he's going to say, "You started off so well. Who messed you up?" And last week we saw that he pronounced a curse upon anyone who would preach a different gospel and would add anything to the perfect gospel by the grace of God through faith. Now, something that we haven't talked about that I probably should have talked about in the introduction, but I didn't. A few words about the Judaizers, these men who came and they were preaching this false gospel. Most probably, I think it's quite definite, they came from the church in Jerusalem. And you will say, because there's plenty later in the book that implies that, and we know other things from the book of Acts, and you will say, "Well, wait a minute. If they came from the church, if these people who were teaching heresy came from the church in Jerusalem, does that mean that the 12 apostles who were in Jerusalem, who were preaching in Jerusalem, were preaching a different gospel?" No. No, it does not mean that. They were preaching the same gospel as Paul. But we need to understand two things about the church in Jerusalem. Number one, it was huge. It was huge. On the day of Pentecost, it was just 3,000. And later on, it multiplied greatly. So we're talking 10,000, 15,000. It's a huge church. And when you have a huge church, there will be people with bad ideas in there. You can have a small church with bad ideas in there. In Acts 15, we haven't gotten there in our study of Acts, but in Acts 15 we read that there were a number of people in the church in Jerusalem who believed this, that you needed to become Jewish in order to be saved. And so that's the one problem. So you can't really just fix everyone's theology when the crowd is so big. Secondly, concerning the church in Jerusalem, what we need to understand is that they were Jewish. They were a Jewish church. When I say Jewish church, they were Jews who had become Christians, which means that all of them were already circumcised. All of them were already Jews who had become Christians, and they didn't. If they had any Gentiles, it wasn't many. And so this issue was not really an issue for them. They didn't have to worry about what the Gentiles should do because it wasn't a problem for them. And so they hadn't sufficiently dealt with it yet, even though they would soon, because you have to deal with this problem. All right, so as I said in the introduction to the book of Galatians, the main issue, the reason that Paul is writing, is to deal with the gospel. That's his problem. There are people who are perverting the gospel, and so he is dealing with that. That's the number one issue. Second issue that we need to deal with, that Paul is dealing with, is the issue of his own apostleship. Because these people who were preaching the false gospel, they knew that what Paul had preached was different. They knew that. And so, in order to try and promote their own false gospel, they had to undermine the authority of Paul. They had to say, Paul doesn't really know what he's talking about. He got it a bit wrong. All right, now, we don't know exactly all the details of what they said about Paul. We don't have a book written by the Judaizers saying this is what we accuse Paul of. But by reading Galatians, especially 1 and 2, and later on, but especially Galatians 1 and 2, and seeing what Paul's arguments are, we can kind of figure out what they were saying about him. And so they were probably saying something around these lines. They were saying, Paul probably learned about the gospel like everyone else from the Jerusalem apostles, and then went off preaching and messed it up. He's not preaching what the church in Jerusalem is preaching. He is a second-class apostle, and he's giving you a second-class, second-rate gospel, which needs to be corrected by getting circumcised and becoming Jewish. All right, that was probably what they were saying about him. And Paul's argument, as we go through chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Galatians, is no, I am not a lesser apostle. In fact, I'm on an equal basis as the other 12 apostles. And the gospel that I'm preaching to you is not a lesser gospel. In fact, it is the same gospel that the apostles are teaching. And when we get into chapter 2, we'll see that he says that when he went and spoke with the apostles in Jerusalem, they agreed that they were on the same page. So that is not the issue. All right? Now, if we look at our text, for today, starting in verse 11, Paul gives us his thesis. He gives us his position. What he's going to say in verses 11 and 12 is what he is going to be defending in our passage today. Look at verses 11 and 12. He says, "But I make known to you, brethren," he's trying to soften them up there a bit after anathematizing in the previous verses, "but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's his position. And that's what he's going to be arguing for the next 10 verses or so. Okay? Now, I want you to see, notice the similarity between verse 12 and verse 1. When he first started the letter, in verse 1, he says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father." And now in verse 12, he says, "For I neither received the gospel from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ." That's what he's trying to get us to see. So what he's going to do now, he's going to give us a small autobiography. Now, he's not going to give all the details of his life. It's very selective. But he's going to give us some things about his life to try and prove that indeed he was not taught the gospel by any man, but it was given to him by revelation of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they and we should believe it. To deny the gospel that Paul preached is to reject God who gave this gospel. All right? In Romans chapter 1, he calls it the gospel of God. We need to remember this. So, first thing that he does, as we go through our passage, is that he reminds us of his previous life in Judaism and what he left behind in order to preach Christ. So, look at verse 13. He says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and trying to destroy it." This is something that Paul talks about a lot. When he was a Jew, his goal was not to persuade the Christian to become Jewish. He wasn't trying to convert the Christians into Judaism. His goal was to destroy them, kill them. He was a persecutor of the church, a murderer. That's who Paul was. We read in Acts that he would go into people's houses and drag out both men and women to put them in jail and have them beaten. And he said that I would try and make them blaspheme. He would try and get them to reject Christ. Of course, back then he didn't think it was blaspheming, but now he realized. He says, I think it's in Acts 22, I may be wrong. He says, "I persecuted this way to the death." In Acts 9, Luke is talking about Saul in that previous condition, and he says he was breathing out threats and murder. He's like a wild animal. He just hated Christ and the church. That's who Paul was. If Paul lived in the 21st century, this is reality now. If Paul lived in the 21st century, we would be calling him a terrorist, a jihadist. People just killing people for his religion. That's who Paul was. Jesus had said in John chapter 16, he had said to his disciples, "There is a time coming when those who kill you will think that they're offering God service." And that's what Paul thought he was doing. He was killing Christians and thought he was offering service to God. He thought that Christians were heretics and deserved to die. That's what Paul's life was initially. Verse 14, he says, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Paul was a Jew of the Jews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was becoming a big name in Judaism. He was top of his class, the best student. He wanted to advance himself. He was the one who went to the high priest and said, "Give me letters so I can go to Damascus and kill Christians." He wanted to do this. And one of the things that we're supposed to see here, how this is part of Paul's argument, one of the things that we need to see here is that he is showing us that, notice, before his conversion, no one taught him the gospel, obviously. Well, we're going to see that neither before his conversion, nor at the time of his conversion, nor after his conversion, did anyone teach him the gospel. It was given to him directly by Jesus. So often, I don't know if you've had this, I have many times, how often someone may say to you, "You only believe what you believe because your parents taught you that. You only believe what you believe because you grew up in the country that you grew up in." Well, Paul couldn't say that. Paul was a Christian who was not raised in Christianity. In fact, he hated Christianity and wanted to destroy it. But God saved him, which shows that it's not just a cultural thing, it's something spiritual. Now, the next sentence, starting in verse 14, is very long. It goes all the way to verse 17, and it's complicated. So let me just read verses 15 and 16, and then we'll try and break it down, okay? Verse 15, he says, "But..." Oh, and Terry, by the way, here's one of those, "This is who I was, but when it pleased God..." Doesn't say "but God," but close enough. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Stop right there. If I could give you a summary of these two verses, because there's a lot of stuff in there. If I could give you a summary of these verses, he's simply saying, when God called me, I did not confer with flesh and blood. I did not go to consult any people. Okay? The call of God was enough for me. I didn't have to go and ask permission by anyone else, by any human being. Okay? That's where he's trying to get to. That's, in a simple form, that's what he says. When God called me, I didn't ask permission by anyone else. I didn't ask anyone to confirm this. Okay? Because There's no higher. If Jesus tells you to do something, you don't have to ask anyone else if it's right to do it. Okay? Now, that's a statement. But he adds all these other things in there. So let's try and break this down and see how he elaborates on that simple statement. Verse 15 starts off and he says, but when it pleased God, that's when God saved him and called him. The reason that Paul was saved, the reason anyone has been saved, is because it pleased God to do so. Nico, when did you get saved? When it pleased God to save me. Why did you get saved? Because it pleased God to do so. Salvation is of God. Paul was not looking for God when God saved him. Paul was not saying, you know, maybe I should become a Christian. I've been thinking about it. No, he was on his way to kill Christians when God saved him. He was not expecting that to happen. All right? So when it pleased God, God called him. Then it says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. When did God choose Paul to be an apostle? Before he was born. And if you know the Old Testament, this is very similar to what we read in Jeremiah chapter 1 when God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet. Listen to these words from Jeremiah 1. The Lord says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And Paul is using the exact same language now. If you know the Old Testament, their mind would immediately go to that. And so he's saying, just like Jeremiah, before I was born, God said that I would be a spokesman for him. So when it pleased God, who separated him from his mother's womb, and called me through his grace. I need to stop there, because this right there, the grace of God, is the centerpiece of the gospel. God saves by grace, through faith. He doesn't save you because you're Jewish or because you've been circumcised, because of some work that you did. Look, God did not save Paul because Paul was good. He was not good. He was terrible. But God saved them. This is how God saves people. He doesn't save anyone because we're good. No one is good. We're all sinners. God saves bad people and makes them good, as he did here with Paul. And let me say one thing about Paul's conversion. I consider Paul's conversion to be one of the greatest proofs for the truth of Christianity, because you have a man who spent 25 years of his life preaching the gospel, beaten, stoned, imprisoned, finally being killed for his faith in Christ. And people will say, ah, that doesn't prove anything. There are thousands of religious fanatics who are willing to die for what they believe. But how many of them were like Paul, who were a fanatic against Christianity and then became a fanatic, if you want to call it that, for Christianity overnight? How did that happen? The only way that that can happen is if God changes the person's heart. That's what happened with Paul. And again, this is all tying into the fact that Paul is trying to prove that he is truly an apostle of Jesus Christ, that God called him. So, when it pleased God, who separated him from his mother's womb and called him by his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that's a strange... This is talking about his conversion, obviously, but that's strange language. It doesn't say that God revealed his son to me. It says he revealed his son in me. I think this has something to do with how when God saves you, he transforms you from the inside. In the next chapter, Paul talks about how Christ lives in me. I think this has something to do with it. So when God called him and revealed his son in him to preach to the Gentiles, he finally gets to the end of what he's trying to say. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He says, when God called me, I did not go ask for anyone's permission. I did not learn it from anyone else. I learned it from Jesus Christ. I did not need the permission or the validation of anyone else. So look at verse 17. He says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He's trying to show us now, he's giving us a bit of history, and he's trying to show us that from the moment that he was converted, he didn't immediately go down to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles and learn the gospel from them or anything like that. But he says, he was in Damascus. Well, he got saved right outside Damascus. He went to Damascus. He says, then he went to Arabia, and then he came back to Damascus. And after that, he's going to go to Jerusalem. There are some people who look at this verse and say, this is a contradiction to what we read in Acts. This is the whole reason I have my map. There are people who say, this does not fit with what we read about Paul in Acts. So, if you wouldn't mind, just a little history, just a bit of history, go with me to Acts chapter 9. And we'll turn right back, but I just want to read you something in Acts chapter 9. The chapter begins with Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Jesus blinds him, and he goes into the city, and then Ananias goes and baptizes him. Let's start in verse 19. It says, this is Acts 9, verse 19. It says, so when he, that's Paul, Saul, had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now, look at what happened. Verse 20. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Immediately, he gets saved, and immediately in Damascus he starts preaching Christ. All right? Verse 21. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose? So that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Verse 23 is a new paragraph. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. All right? Now, you can go back to Galatians if you want. So what we have is, you have Paul, follow me. You have Paul who travels to Damascus. He gets saved in Damascus. According to Acts, it says he gets saved in Damascus. He starts preaching in Damascus. And it says then, after many days, they persecuted him in Damascus, and the Christians had to help him escape. All right? And that's after that he went down to Jerusalem. Now, in Galatians it says, he's in Damascus, he says, then I went to Arabia and returned to Damascus, and then after that he left and went to Jerusalem. Alright? Now, here's the parallel. Acts, Galatians. In Acts, you got Damascus, many days later, we're still in Damascus. Here it says he was in Damascus, went to Arabia for a trip, came back to Damascus. So in those many days, Luke simply does not mention the fact that he went to Arabia. And when we think of Arabia today, we think of Saudi Arabia way down there. Back then, Arabia was much larger than that. It went all the way up to the south of Israel and to the east and northeast of Israel. So this area here, which I've written Nabataea, was known as Nabataean Arabia. And so it's most probable that he did not travel down into the desert thousands of miles and then decide to go back to Damascus. He probably just went into Nabataean Arabia and then just went back to Damascus. And I have further confirmation for this in 2 Corinthians, I don't remember the chapter. In 2 Corinthians 12, I think it's 12, Paul talks about how he talks about the fact that they were trying to persecute him in Damascus and they let him down from the wall in a big basket. And he says the reason that they tried to help him escape was because, he says, King Aretas was trying to kill him. And you're like, I have no idea who King Aretas is. That means nothing to me. King Aretas was the king of Nabataea. All right? And you would say, well, why was the king in Nabataea chasing after Paul all the way to Damascus? I'm assuming the same reason that everyone else chased after Paul, because he was preaching the gospel. So, if we put everything together, if we get Acts, Galatians, 2 Corinthians all together, he gets saved in Damascus, starts preaching immediately, goes to Nabataea, Arabia, probably preached the gospel there, gets persecuted, goes back to Damascus. He has this king, plus the Jews, they're wanting to kill him, so he escapes and goes to Jerusalem. We all get that? That's the history for you. There's no contradiction if you put everything together. Not every book of the Bible needs to give you all the information. They give you the information that they need to give you, and we put everything together and see how it fits. All right. Now, let's go back to our text. Verse 18 in Galatians. Verse 18. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles, except James, the Lord's brother. Now he says, 3 years. The 3 years includes the Damascus, Arabia, Damascus time. And so for 3 years, before he went to Jerusalem, he was preaching the gospel. And so his point here is to show them, look, I was preaching the gospel 3 years before I even went to Jerusalem or met any of the apostles. So obviously I could not have learned it from them. All right? So, and he says, when I was in Jerusalem, I saw Peter and James, the brother of Jesus. All right? James was like an elder, a teacher in the church in Jerusalem. The guy who wrote the letter of James. All right? And he says, I was there only for 15 days. Now, the point is, the reason that he gives us that, I was there for only 15 days. That's not a lot of time. That's not a lot of time to learn great amounts of theology. In Acts chapter 20, Paul talks about how he's with the Ephesian elders, and he's saying goodbye to them, and he says, you know, I'm not going to see you again, bye. And he says, I gave you the whole counsel of God. Now, I doubt that you can learn the whole counsel of God in 15 days in Jerusalem. If you go to back to Acts chapter 9, and we don't need to do that right now, but in Acts chapter 9, we're told that when he went to Jerusalem for those 15 days, not only does it say nothing about him being taught by the apostles, it says he went to meet them. Rather, what he was doing, he started preaching there also. And what happened when he was there, the Jews in Jerusalem tried to kill him again. And the Christian church in Jerusalem tried to help him escape again. Same thing as in Damascus. Preaches the gospel, Jews try to kill him, Christians help him escape. Goes to Jerusalem, preaches the gospel, Jews try to kill him, Christians help him escape. Same thing. He did not go there to learn anything or get his validation by the apostles. Alright, that's his whole point. Now, in verse 20, he says, now, concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Now, you may think of that as just a parenthesis that you can just read over and move on. But this is very serious. Dare I say, this is the most important verse in the text. Because what's he doing here? He is taking an oath before God. He says, I am not lying before God. What I'm saying here, that Christ called me to be an apostle, the gospel that I'm preaching is from him. I swear to God, I do not lie. And this is important. This is huge. Jews did not take vows lightly. Today we take vows lightly. We say something, whatever. Back then, they were serious about this. It was better to never make a vow than to make it and break it. And so Paul says, look, it's true. I swear to God that I am an apostle. He called me to preach his gospel. And this is important not just for the Galatians who are reading. This is important for us. Let me tell you why. All of us, not just the Galatians, we have to make a choice. When we read Paul's writings, we have to make a choice now. Either what he said is from God, or he's a blasphemer. Those are the options. I don't want to hear the people who say, oh, you know, Paul, I like Paul, but he got things a bit off, you know, when he talks about homosexuality being a sin. Well, we can kind of ignore that. Or, yeah, Paul is pretty good and zealous, but, you know, when he talks about women that need to submit to their husbands and stuff like that, yeah, we're not going to listen to that. You can't have that. You can't just pick and choose whatever you want from Paul. Either he is a spokesman of God and you need to listen to what he says, or he's a blasphemer who lied. Those are your options. Paul says, this is it. Before God. No other options. So verse 21. Let's keep going. Verse 21. After all this, afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Just a quick side note, that's not a big deal. When he escaped from Jerusalem because they were trying to kill him, the disciples put him on a boat and they sent him up to Tarsus, which was his hometown. Tarsus is in the region of Cilicia. And then a few years later, Barnabas told him to come and start preaching in Antioch, which is in Syria. So that's why he says, I spend time in Syria and Cilicia. Verse 22, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Why does he say that? Well, again, he's trying to bring this home as much as he can. Again, Judea is down where Jerusalem is. He says, they didn't even know me down there. They had never seen me by face. All right? If I had learned the gospel there, if I had spent time there being taught by the apostles in the church in Jerusalem, the churches down there would know me. But they didn't. Rather, verse 23, but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. What caused such a radical change in Paul to go from trying to destroy the faith, that's what it says, he is now preaching the faith. That is because God saved him. And that's why the churches were glorifying God for what he had done with Paul. And this completes, well, not completely, but this kind of ends his first section of proving his point that he did not invent the gospel. He didn't learn the gospel from anyone else. Neither before his conversion or during his conversion or after his conversion did he get the gospel from anyone else. Rather, Jesus Christ gave it to him. And as I close, let me just say this. As I said before, this what Paul says here is not just for the Galatians. It's for us also. Because our New Testament, about one-third of it is written by Paul. All right, that's a lot of scripture. Most of our Christian theology, much of our Christian theology is based upon what Paul said. And we need to know, is this accurate? Is this correct? Is this, or do we need to go somewhere else to implement? Do we need to go somewhere else so we can get additions like these Judaizers were saying? But Paul says, no, I am an apostle and I can prove it to you by the history of what has happened to me, what Christ has done for me, what God has done for me, and the history of me not being taught any of these things by the apostles. And I know someone may say, well, that doesn't prove anything because even though we see all the things that Paul says here, how do we know that they're true? This was 2,000 years ago. We can't check it out and find out if it's true or not. But here's the thing, and I've said this many times. Paul did not write this 2,000 years after the fact. He wrote it then. And the people could check it out. They could go and say, they could go to Jerusalem and say, what was Paul like before he was converted? They could go find the men who traveled up to Damascus with him and say, what happened? They could go to Damascus and say, did Paul really start preaching the gospel immediately like that? They could go down to Jerusalem and say, did you teach Paul about these things? And they could say, no, he was preaching the gospel before he ever came here. They could ask these things, and they could confirm these things, and that's why they believed it. If it was not true, they would take this letter, crumple it up, throw it into the garbage like any other teaching of any false writer and say, we don't need to buy this. But because it was true, they believed it. And it kept on going. And we have the book of Galatians and the rest of Paul's writings today. Because he was indeed an apostle of Jesus Christ. And his gospel was indeed the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Which he will explain further in the next few chapters. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.